Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Here is a story from Exodus, a mother's story from Exodus. Now, a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maids to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water."
Please pray with me. Oh, wisdom divine, just as you inspired the mothers of our faith, grant us your knowledge and discernment so that we can learn how to be clever in our compassion and courageous in our faith through Christ and in the Spirit. Amen. So Mother's Day is complicated for a lot of people. And just a few of the reasons it can be complicated are because of broken relationships, the death of a mother or a child, people who've wanted nothing more in their lives but to be a mom and were simply unable, and then women who've never wanted to be a mother but had no choice. Thankfully, God has provided many women in each of our lives to be our moms, and that we can be moms too. So I'm going to talk a little bit about moms, but more specifically about the many women that walk through life with us. And I think you're, most of you are familiar with Moses. He was the guy that told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And he divided the Red Sea so the Hebrews could cross dry land, wandered around with the people in the desert, met with God to deliver the Ten Commandments, and ultimately led the Israelites to the land that God had promised them. Charleston Heston. He's the main character in the Old Testament, and we still remember him as Christians. We do that a lot, actually. We remember men of the Bible. And that's perfectly fine. God worked through Moses and a lot of other people to do some really amazing and important things. But sometimes we remember the men in the Bible to the detriment of the women that made them who they were. For example, God needed at least five women, just to make sure Moses survived his first year of life. In order to not make the entire sermon just reading of the scripture, I trimmed down some of the extra stuff out, but here's a little overview. Pharaoh is really frustrated with the population growth of Hebrews in Egypt. And he forgets everything that Joseph, the Joseph with the coat of many colors, that he came back and he predicted the years of plenty and the years of famine and sort of helped Egypt not starve to death. That Joseph, Pharaoh forgot that Joseph, and he's afraid. The Pharaoh's afraid that Joseph's descendants are going to outnumber the Egyptians, and then if they outnumber the Egyptians, they're going to get some crazy ideas about taking over the place. So Pharaoh comes up with this 4-point plan to gain control. First, he tries forced labor. So before this, the Hebrews were not slaves. They were important in the political, cultural, and economic life of Egypt. And Pharaoh thought, like, well, if I just take away their roles and I make them slaves, that's going to slow down the birth rate, right? Like, they're not going to feel like making babies. Unfortunately, this was not as effective as Pharaoh would have liked. So his second plan was to intensify that forced labor. No more cushy office jobs, hard physical labor. Again, did not provide the results that Pharaoh was looking for. How do they have the time or the energy to make all of these babies? Okay, so third order. Have the midwives kill all the male Hebrew babies as they're being delivered. Somehow, live births still happen at the same rate. Pharaoh's not used to disobedience. So he brings the midwives in, and he questions them. And the midwives, they're given names. Their names are Shifra and Puah. And Shifra and Puah say, like, well, I don't know. These Hebrew women, they're just so strong and healthy. And the babies, just come out before we even get there. So, Pharaoh's anger, I can imagine, is just intensifying. He's just thwarted at every turn. And finally, he comes up with this seemingly foolproof plan. His fourth tactic. He instructs everyone that every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Because what harm can women do? Girls can't do anything. Things are getting a little more serious for the people of God's promise. But even this isn't going to stop God. There's a Levite couple in Egypt, and they give birth to a son. We don't find out their names until chapter 6 of Exodus, but they're Amram and Jochebed. Jochebed, the mother of this baby, she can't bear. She can't bear to harm her child. She hides him. She hides him for 3 months. Can you imagine hiding an infant for 3 months? Not letting anyone know that you've got this baby around? I don't know how you do it. She eventually realizes she can't hide the boy anymore. She weaves this watertight basket. She finds a place that's sort of safe among the reeds, but still, like, maybe somebody might see him. And just places him in the Nile River. I mean, that's what Pharaoh said to do, right? Put all the male babies in the river. technically she did follow the Pharaoh's order. She just put him in a basket before she put him in the river. Now, this baby's sister, again, she's unnamed, but we think that it's Miriam. Miriam follows the basket. She hides behind reeds on the other side of the bank. She watches behind the bulrushes as the basket catches the eye of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter is bathing in the Nile River, which sounds gross to me, but hey, you do you. But Pharaoh's daughter catches a glimpse of this basket, says, "Hey, go, what's in there? Bring that back. Maybe there's something cool in it." And she opens up the basket, and the princess recognizes there's a baby in there, and this baby is a Hebrew male. I'm going to say that she probably recognizes that it's a Hebrew male because of circumcision, but she's also keenly aware of her father's decree. So she has pity on this poor boy, and she wants to rescue him. But, oh my word, where on earth would she find someone to feed this child? And wouldn't you know, Moses' sister, Miriam, she has only one action, one line of dialogue in this story, but man, she is quick thinking. And she's courageous. She had to have her timing just right in order to appear helpful without being intrusive and not rousing up any suspicion. "Oh, hey, well, what you got there? Oh, a baby, a Hebrew baby. Wow, you say you don't have any way to feed it? You know, I might just know somebody who is a breastfeeding Hebrew woman. I can introduce the two of you." And so Moses' two moms meet. Pharaoh's daughter has already engaged in an act of civil disobedience by just rescuing the child. But now, in an ironic twist, she's also offering wages to a slave for taking care of her own child. It's through these two mothers that Moses has the best of both worlds. It's where God prepares him for his ultimate mission in life, delivering the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Jochebed probably nursed for about 3 years. And this was enough time to teach her son some basic values and language and religion. And Pharaoh's daughter provided the best of everything that money could buy: education, clothes, food. And let's not forget the power and influence that comes from just living in the Pharaoh's household. Together, these mothers of Moses were crucial influences for the nation of Israel and the world. But all of these women together, the midwives, Jochebed, Miriam, Pharaoh's daughter, they were all important in God's mission. Without them, he would not have grown to release people from Pharaoh's grasp. We would not have the Ten Commandments. There would be no narrative of liberation for us to look forward to. There would be no Passover imagination, and the gospel would look incredibly different. Yes. The Bible tends to raise up men as the ones who enact God's works. But the women are just as important. We can see here in the story of Moses' two moms and all of the other women who resisted oppression with courage and love. If they weren't important to God, if there was nothing to learn about from these women, they wouldn't have even been mentioned in the Bible. So thanks be to God who listens to, works through, and acknowledges women as part of the mission in the world. Amen.